T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is a WWJ News Special, Back to School Amid the Coronavirus. Over the next hour, we'll be discussing plans for fall, sports, and your concerns. This hour is sponsored by Mimic Insurance. Here are your hosts, Jason Scott and Jackie Page.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. The month of July is quickly coming to a close, and that means back to school planning and activities. They're in full swing across Metro Detroit and the state of Michigan. All of which under the cloud that is the coronavirus, Jackie.
And there's plenty of uncertainty and mystery heading into the new school year. Districts are grappling with what's best socially, mentally, and medically for their students and staff.
Yeah, and there's plenty of discussion around all of that, in-person learning, online learning, masks, no masks. We're going to talk about extracurricular activity as well, helping us to better understand what's happening or what may happen. We have a couple of guests, Jackie.
That's right. Mark Greyhead is the superintendent of the Woodhaven-Brownstown School District and president of the Tri-County Alliance for Public Education. We also have Dr. Robert Shaner, superintendent of Rochester Community Schools, and also a member of the Governor's Return to School Advisory Council, plus Dr. Gerald Hill, superintendent of the West Bloomfield School District.
Dr. Shaner, you're working closely with the governor, who spoke yesterday on the state of back to school here in the state of Michigan. And just to kind of set the table for the entire hour and where we're at, the state's 800 districts and their back to school plans are kind of, I guess the word is limbo at the moment, but it all depends really on the state's overall reopening process. Dr. Shaner, whereabouts are we at right now?
Well, I think what districts are doing is going through the governor's return to school plan and really trying to apply it to their local context. And it's a very difficult challenge because geographically the state's regions are very different where they're at with the virus. And in Metro Detroit, we're all trying to meet the needs of our community and work to meet the needs of our students.
And in terms of that, Mark Greyhead, when looking at Metro Detroit, specifically the Tri-County area, how different are back to school plans of area districts to those out state?
Well, we're still in phase four here in this part of the state. And, our governor has been basing her decisions on what she believes is in the best health interest of our citizens. And phase four, you know, leads us to believe that with the appropriate safety protocols, coming back to school can be done in person and can be done safely. The challenge is that the daily news that we hear and the updates that we hear lead one to believe otherwise. That maybe we're not heading in the appropriate direction. And that's cause for a lot of concern.
Dr. Gerald Hill is with us, superintendent of West Bloomfield School District. Dr. Hill, out with a plan now with the district when it comes to K through 12. To detail a certain district here in Metro Detroit, tell us what is in the works at the moment for your neck of the woods.
Right now, our school board approved our return to school plan Monday night. And it's been stated that we're in phase four. And during our meeting, we concluded that phase four is the most complicated of the phases. Phases one, two, three are pretty straightforward. Everything is online. Phase five, it appears that most everybody can be back. But on phase four, we have multiple plans. We have a fully online remote learning option called Lakers Online. And it's available to all students in all grades and is delivered via our Canvas platform. We also have a plan for grades K through 8 which is a blended format where we will cohort the students in groups. Cohort A would go to school today, Thursday in the mornings and receive remote learning in the afternoons. Cohort B would learn remotely in the morning, half days, and then in the afternoons, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, those students would come in for face-to-face instruction. And then we have other groups, special education, special needs students, who will get more face-to-face in-person learning as appropriate.
This is a WWJA News Special, Back to School Amid the Coronavirus. This hour sponsored by Nemec Insurance. Back to Jackie Page and Jason Scott.
And thank you once again for joining Jason Scott and me as Governor Whitmer continues to remind residents to keep the virus numbers at bay. We're talking about a back to school plan for Michigan schools here in the fall. The state's return to learn plan comes, though, with some requirements.
It requires, as the executive order that I signed, requires that each district board come up with a plan for phase three, phase four, phase five. Phase three, we're not in person. Phase four, there can be in person, but there are a lot of requirements that need to be observed in order to keep students and the workforce safe.
And Dr. Gerald Hill, before the break, you were discussing a little bit about the plan that West Bloomfield has already implemented, in fact, out today with this new plan. How long did it take you to do it, and how did you come up with it to make it different than what students experienced in the spring?
Well, we started working on it while we were in the spring and saw some of the deficiencies we had with the crisis learning that we were involved with then. So we've had teams of educators, parents, and in some cases students working at each school, and we have a district-wide team. And through a collaborative process, we've been studying the Safe Start plan and guidelines of the governors, and we put in our classroom to cloud plan where we have multiple options for families in especially in phase four. And phase four is the most complicated. And I agree with the governor and what was stated earlier. If we could get to phase five as a state or region, it would be a lot better for everybody because we could have fully 5 days a week in-person instruction. Phase four, we're choosing to follow the required and strongly recommended protocols from the Safe Start plan. So in West Bloomfield, in the high school, our grades 9 to 12 is going to be totally remote. We're not going to have face-to-face while we're in phase four. It was very complicated. We couldn't figure out how to socially distance and follow all the strongly recommended requirements in an in-person model. So we're doing remote learning for our high school 9 to 12 in phase four. The other grades, K to 8, will have a blended format. And then we also have a fully online Lakers Online for everybody.
So that's what's happening in West Bloomfield, but a little different in Rochester Community Schools, Dr. Shaner.
Right. Our plan that we briefed to our board in a work session Monday night, and they haven't approved it yet, but we anticipate they will before the August 15th deadline. We are offering a virtual campus to our community for people that don't feel comfortable sending their kids back to school, K-12. We are working diligently to meet the required status of the back-to-school plan for our buildings. And if we do return for in-person instruction, we'll be 5 days a week meeting the requirements of the governor's plan. We also have a remote learning process that has much higher expectations than the crisis planning that we did in March. We feel very strongly that that'll be effective and meet the needs of our community. Well, much like everyone else, we're trying to offer people a menu of choices. But I will say this: we have not made a judgment yet on whether or not we'll return in person or return remotely. We'll continue to watch the information on the virus and the public health information, and make a decision based on science and data at that time. Of course, in collaboration with our labor units and our community.
And from Rochester schools to Woodhaven schools, obviously each district dealing with this very differently. And you're also hearing from your parents, from all of the parents in different communities. They all have different viewpoints as well.
Certainly. We began getting information from our parents back in early June so that we could get a sense for what we did well during crisis planning, but knowing full well that we needed their input to understand what we could do better should we need to continue in an online environment going forward. And then we've just recently resurveyed our parents and are like are likely to resurvey them again as we try to bring some closure on what our ultimate plan will look like.
The plan has a lot to do with online learning. So in district to district, that can look different. Is there input from the parents about the difficulty of online learning? Mark, to stay with you.
Sure. Feedback from our parents showed us that in online learning, one of the things that they liked and favored was the flexibility that it gave. That was some of the responses we gave. But at the same time, when asked what they least liked or what we could improve upon during online learning, it's both rigor and relevance, accountability, but also the isolation that students were feeling in an online environment.
And in terms of what you're all experiencing, and we'll talk about, again, Dr. Shaner, just to reiterate with you, because you are talking with the governor here, I'm sure, on a regular basis. How do you combat the resistance that many of the students, they don't want to go back to school just because they don't want to go back to school. It's not their fault. They don't want to go back to school, but they need to learn. How do you combat the resistance? From the state level, how are teachers coming together saying, look, we got to get these kids in front of the computer? How are you going to do that?
Well, I think that's really a really challenging communications issue, right? And we've got to engage parents where they're at and engage kids where they're at and make sure that we're communicating the why, right? Why do they need to do that? When they need to do that, and how we can accommodate and engage them in doing it and making sure that learning has high expectations and a high level of engagement. You know, I think that's one of the reasons we're offering choice. Folks that are comfortable with in-person instruction or remote instruction, which I would say is much more like remote instruction, is like in-person instruction. It's more daily engagement by a teacher versus our virtual campus, where it's more self-directed, more self-paced, and a lot more parent involvement. So I think communication and engagement are key. And I think, in my 20 some odd years in public education, I'll say this. Every time you lay out expectations for kids, especially high expectations, they exceed them as long as they understand the why. And that's really why I keep doing what I do, because when you see kids exceed expectations and do great things, it's very rewarding.
Accentuate the positive there.
This is a WWJ News Special. Back to school amid the coronavirus. This hour sponsored by Nemec Insurance. Back to Jackie Page and Jason Scott.
Welcome back and thank you for joining us. Keeping oneself socially distanced, well, that can be an issue in traditionally, well, sometimes overcrowded classrooms. And the issue of wearing masks, staying 6 feet apart is top of mind right now. Kids returning to certain Michigan schools this fall. Again, here's Governor Whitmer.
So while I can't tell you what it's going to look like, I can tell you every day between now and then, we're watching the numbers very closely. That's why masking up and tightening our protocols right now in hopes that we don't have to take a step backward and that we can at least stay where we are. That's the goal here.
Dr. Gerald Hill, the logistics of returning back to school amid social distancing and wearing masks. Top of mind, what's on your mind?
Well, top priority is the health and safety of our students and staff. And as we put our plan together, that was the North Star or the driving force. And also high on that list, obviously, is the quality of the educational experience for students. And the social distancing and wearing masks is part of the equation. And we have plans in place where our elementary students will be in groups of no more than 15. And they'll be cohorted and they'll be there for approximately 3 hours a day during phase four. And with the middle school, it's the same thing. We'll go up to about 18 students in the middle school. And then in high school, it'll be totally virtual. So they will, by definition, be socially distanced. And there'll be opportunities for small groups of students to come together at the high school level. But the main consideration is the health and safety of students and teachers. We have some teachers that are in maybe an older, more vulnerable age group or have health conditions that may be a factor. And about 30% of our staff will be working remote with the remote part of it, not in the face-to-face in phase four.
Dr. Shaner, I'm sorry, Jackie, I got a follow-up here for Dr. Shaner real quick on the Governor's Advisory Council. Is there any pushback from teachers regarding this topic statewide? Are you hearing any conflicts when it comes to maybe getting back into a classroom?
Well, I think there's consternation and anxiety on everyone's part, particularly if you're someone that's medically fragile or immune compromised. And I think it's really important that we work in collaboration with our labor units and our community to accommodate people that have those concerns and communicate what our plans are to mitigate risk. We certainly can't eliminate risk, but we can mitigate it for our staff and our students. And we could do that in collaboration and communicate so people, again, understand the why. I certainly think there's a lot of anxiety about returning and what that might look like and what the consequences might be.
And just to recap our guests again, Mark Greathead, superintendent of Woodhaven Brownstown School District, Dr. Robert Shaner, superintendent of Rochester Community Schools, and Dr. Gerald Hill, superintendent of the West Bloomfield School District. Again, thank you all for joining us. And Mark Greathead, I want to ask you a question in terms of what you're getting the responses. I know many of you obviously sent out surveys from your community. What are you hearing about from and the parents? We're hearing from the teachers union and across the country, we're seeing that a lot of teachers are saying that there actually is a need for more money. I mean, not only obviously for this distance learning, but also for the cleaning and the upkeep of the schools. How are you going to manage that? How are you explaining that to the community? Look, is this going to be a bond proposal? Are you asking the state? And from the superintendent perspective, where do you go for the money?
It's going to have to be federal support from Congress. You know, the House has already passed the Heroes Act. We know that the Senate is on work on their version of a stimulus, a support package. But we're trying to make plans under a great deal of uncertainty. And we're trying to make plans that are going to be very expensive. Professional or the PPE equipment for all of our staff and students, cleaning protocols, additional staff that's needed to implement those cleaning protocols. When you look at online versions of education and trying to hybrid that with in-person education, it's likely going to be need an increase in staff. This is all coming at a time when we know that the state of Michigan's been hit hard economically, and that is having a trickle-down effect to us. With the uncertainty going forward, we really need to keep the pressure on Congress to step up, make public education a priority. And if it's safe to have students in person in school for their education, we need to provide the funds to be able to do it the right way.
Funding for this year is one thing, but funding for the next couple of years, if let's say COVID-19 is a part of our lives for 5 years, I mean, this discussion may have to get a little bit bigger and then just funding, you know, for a fall to spring, no?
Certainly. We're already seeing the impact that it's had on us in just the first few months, and you know, the negative impact it had on the 2019/20 school year. And fortunately, there was the first CARES Act money was able to support school districts in covering the shortfalls. But there are no guarantees going forward. We're already anticipating cuts going forward. And it's not going to be able to be made up by the state of Michigan alone.
Back to school amidst the coronavirus on News Radio 950. It's a news special on WWJ.
This is a WWJ news special. Back to school amid the coronavirus. This hour sponsored by Mimic Insurance. Back to Jackie Page and Jason Scott.
And again, thank you all for joining us here on WWJ News Radio 950. Our guests this hour are, again, a lot of anxiety around school. So we've asked some superintendents from schools to join us, as Mark Greathead, the superintendent of Woodhaven Brownstown School District, also Dr. Robert Shaner, the superintendent of Rochester Community Schools, and Dr. Gerald Hill, superintendent of the West Bloomfield School District. Dr. Hill, I'll ask you quickly. Obviously, we mentioned this earlier. You've put out your plan of action, at least for today. What happens if we have to go back to phase 2 or 3?
Well, in an odd sense, Jackie, that'll be easier to manage because we have a pretty robust online presence. It'll be easier to manage from all of the social distancing and PPE and transportation and all of that. It'll be challenging more from the student and parent perspective. And the teachers, we are been doing a lot of training since the spring, and we have a new learning management system in place. And so the quality of our instruction, the rigor of our instruction will be better. The bigger challenges through all this, whether it's in phase one, two, or three, or phase four, is the social-emotional learning aspect and building relationships. And we're spending a lot of time on how we can build relationships with students virtually from the start. We had the advantage at the end of the spring because we already had those relationships established, and we relied on those pre-established relationships. Starting the year in a more remote or totally remote learning atmosphere, the relationship building will be key on how to do that in a remote way.
Dr. Shaner, what's the advice here for parents? What's the district telling parents if they have a concern maybe about, having Johnny or Jane learn at home for an entire year? What's the calming conversation that's happening right now?
Well, I think one of the things that we continue to do is engage our community through town halls and our email platform and with the relationships that our administrators and teachers have with our community. But I would say to parents, if you have a concern, you have a point of anxiety, or if you're afraid, or you don't know which choice to make, reach out to someone and ask. Let us know, and we'll attend to them. If you're comfortable talking to your building principal, reach out to them. If you're not, or you have a picture that a question that's of a bigger picture, call us and let us know. We have a platform in Rochester called Talk to Us, and people can always submit an email question, but they can give us a call too, and they'll get a phone call back within 24 hours. I think the dialogue and the communication here is key.
And speaking of that, Jason was out and actually spoke with a young mother from Southfield, and she's preparing for the new school year.
If they do plan on going back to school, are they going to have to all wear masks? How often are they going to be sanitizing things? Are they washing their hands every 10 minutes?
Yeah, washing their hands every 10 minutes. I don't know if that's going to be I'm not trying to laugh, but, you know, it's I guess, in her mind, right? It's in her thoughts.
Dr. Hill, I will just say that, you know, when I was reading what your plan of action for today, you did talk about how on Wednesdays you're going to have, you're going to use that opportunity to deep clean the schools. But you're going to have different kids there in the morning and different kids there in the afternoon. So there is a bit of a risk of transmission there. In terms of, is this the only plan that you could, I don't want to make it sound like this is not a good plan, because I wouldn't even know where to start. I'm just saying, is this the best plan that you decided to come up with? And does this follow state guidelines?
Yeah, it follows state guidelines. And in terms of the sanitation between cohorts, we have 90 minutes in between classrooms. And we have our custodial maintenance crew have been fantastic in terms of looking at ways that we can sanitize the high touch spaces in the classrooms between cohorts. The school buses that we'll use will be sanitized between each run. And so we feel that in terms of the protocols for hygiene in terms of cleaning are there. One of the issues that we had at the high school, why we decided to go remote, is we didn't have very good options when we were changing class periods, and we couldn't cohort groups, and there would be more students just going from classroom to classroom and not having the opportunity to sanitize. So we will do that sanitation in the midday, before the school starts, and midday for the cohorts. On Wednesdays, we will do deep cleaning, and it's also a time for teachers to do some, extensive planning with their professional learning communities and to have opportunities to enhance what they're doing on the teaching and learning front, because they're going to be responsible for both in-person and face-to-face learning, and it'll take much more planning and collaboration with each other.
Back to school amidst the coronavirus on News Radio 950. It's a special WWJ hour-long discussion about Michigan's return to learn.
This is a WWJ News special. Back to school amid the coronavirus. This hour sponsored by Mimic Insurance. Back to Jackie Page and Jason Scott.
Mark Greathead is superintendent of Woodhaven Brownstown School District, president of the Tri-County Alliance for Public Education. Dr. Robert Shaner is superintendent of Rochester Community Schools and also a member of the Governor's Return to School Advisory Council. And we have Dr. Gerald Hill, superintendent of the West Bloomfield School District. Return to Learn has aspects of learning off campus, also on campus, in person. I want to talk to Mark real quick here, president of the Tri-County Alliance for Public Education. When it comes to Metro Detroit and the Tri-County area, connectability and online learning is a lot different community to community, district to district. Talk about the challenges that we're up against here come this fall.
Sure. For us, we had to quickly mobilize and do drive-through pickups for the mobile technology that our parents needed during this time. I sometimes think that we take for granted how we are connected at this time. For a lot of us, it's through our cell phones, which is not the optimal learning device for our students. So we distributed over 1,200 Chromebook devices through a drive-through system. But I also think, like many of my peers, it was a challenge for us to get internet connectivity options available for our parents as we were all trying to do that at the same time. Getting the appropriate technology learning devices into students' hands is the challenge for us.
Dr. Shane, I wanted to ask you about this since you're on the governor's advisory board here. Sports. She's already talked about perhaps, you know, football would be played in the spring, or we'll see some of the fall sports in the spring. A lot of these kids, not all of them, but a lot of these kids, they might not get a full ride, but they might get some money playing sports or playing a musical instrument. What are they going to do? I mean, we're talking about their futures. These are very difficult decisions. We already saw it in the spring.
Well, it certainly is a challenge, and I think everyone through this experience has experienced some type of loss or grief, whether it's the loss of a loved one, a loss of something you love, like an extracurricular activity, or being in school. I think it's challenging. I think we have to, as the governor said many times, we've got to let science and data dictate what the public health protocol will be. We've already seen, like, the Florida Marlins is a multiple positive tests on their baseball team, the Michigan State football team. I read the MASA news this morning, and there's multiple football programs, high school football programs across the state of Michigan that have their conditioning camps been shut down because of positive cases. I know that's happened in our district. I think these are very difficult decisions, but I also think that we're playing with something in terms of the virus that is very dangerous, and I think we ought not underestimate it. We have an obligation to protect our adults as much as we have an obligation to protect our students. And as communities, we need to make those decisions, those difficult decisions. I think if the Michigan High School Athletic Association deems it safe to adjust seasons and that works out, I think that would be fine. But I also think we've got to let science and data dictate our public health protocols in order to keep our students and our staff safe. You know, and there are options with extracurriculars. One of the things that we're looking at with our band is to be able to do more music theory during band class, and then purchasing software so kids can play their instruments at home and still be part of a band, and where it comes together with the computer program. And we actually used a program like that with our graduation ceremony, and it absolutely turned out beautiful. So there are so many consequences for families with this, whether it's social, emotional, whether it's potential scholarship money, or just the experience of being a part of the arts or being a part of a sports team. I know I have three children of my own. They're involved in sports, and I know it's a loss to them, but we are dealing with something that's extremely dangerous, particularly if you're those of us that are over 50 and some of us that are medically compromised. And again, it's a novel virus, and we don't know how it will mutate and how things will change.
Dr. Hill, West Bloomfield School District says high schoolers, they're not going to be returning to the classroom. What's the conversation there? You're not going to be in school, but yet extracurriculars are going to be taking place. You know, how do you break that to the kids, and what's the conversation moving forward? You got to come into school to do this. You got to go here to do that, but yet you're going to stay home to learn. I'm sure there's a lot of angst when it comes to being a student at this time.
There definitely is. And I think the key is cohorting in more controllable size groups. And that's what we're doing with the extracurriculars. The football conditioning that's been going on, they've been in smaller cohorts. But I agree with Dr. Shaner that the COVID-19 is not something to play with and to disregard. So we have to be diligent and vigilant on paying attention to the spread of the virus anywhere it happens. I think for students, they're pretty resilient, and they will go with the flow. The online learning part for high school, actually, we found our attendance or engagement in the spring to be quite high at the high school level. And so we're not as concerned with that. It's a little harder for maybe a first grader or kindergarten student to maintain that focus and time on task with online learning. But in terms of all of the extracurriculars, there's a word there, extra. And I think we need to keep that in mind, too. It's not the primary reason, although if I'm a football player, it may be primary for me. But we need to make sure that we have safe environments for all of our students when they do participate in those extracurricular, whether it's band or fine arts, music, those types of things.
It's a back-to-school special on News Radio 950, and we're going to come back and have final thoughts from our three guests on WWJ.
This is a WWJ News Special. Back to school amid the coronavirus. This hour sponsored by Mimic Insurance. Back to Jackie Page and Jason Scott.
And welcome back to our special returning to learn in the fall for Michigan schools, for teachers, kids, and of course, leadership as well. Joining us, Mark Greathead, superintendent of the Woodhaven-Brownstown School District, president of the Tri-County Alliance as well for public education. Dr. Robert Shaner, superintendent of Rochester Community Schools and also a member of the Governor's Return to School Advisory Council. And Dr. Gerald Hill, superintendent of the West Bloomfield School District. And we'll start with you, Mr. Greathead, just your final thoughts on going forward, what you think is going to happen, first of all, to start the year and as we progress toward Christmas.
Well, I'm optimistic. And I'm hopeful that, and our students deserve some hope and optimism, that everybody in the state of Michigan does their part, as the governor asks. Wear the mask, social distance, and wash your hands. It's giving our students the best opportunity to get into the best educational environment possible. We want the best academic opportunities for our students. We want the best extracurricular opportunities for our students. We're relying on everybody to do their part for our children to have those opportunities.
And you say you're optimistic. That's a good thing. It's also to note what you said earlier in this special, that the numbers may be a little blown out of proportion. Is that discussion being had with parents at all?
Our parents are sharing their concerns with us. June 30th, when the plan came out, we were believing that we were heading to phase five. And I think at the time we were thinking we would be in phase five by July 4th. And that was very optimistic, because as Dr. Hill indicated, phase four is not easy. Phase five or phases one through three are much more manageable than phase four. Unfortunately, we're not progressing like we thought we were when this roadmap first came out. So that's very concerning. It's concerning to our parents, and it's concerning to our teaching staff as well.
And Dr. Hill, some final thoughts going forward?
Yeah, final thoughts. What's going to happen in the fall? Your guess are as good as ours. This is the first time in my career as superintendent, anyway, the last 24 years, that I have not known with certainty what's going to be happening on that first day of school. And so we are in the mode of hoping for the best and planning for the worst. And we have multiple plans in place. And each of those plans takes the health and safety of students and staff as a top priority. And we're hoping that we do not have to implement many of those plans. On the hopeful side, if we get to phase five, that would be fantastic. On the realistic side, we know that may be a stretch, especially to start the year. I think the key is communication, as been said before, and I think we need to keep our lines of communication open. I think we need to be flexible in our thinking, and I think we need to be understanding of everybody's anxiety, from the students to the teachers to the parents to the administrators. And lastly, our school boards are put in a really precarious situation. They do not know what resources they have to allocate, and we don't know if we will get those resources. And so without the resources, our whole discussion this evening is moot. We need the funding and the resources to offer a safe and healthy and quality program for all of our students.
Now to the head of Rochester Schools, Dr. Robert Shaner, final thoughts here.
First thing I'd like to do is extend a tremendous amount of gratitude to our staff that's been working so diligently since last March, and especially through the summer and since July 30th when the plan came out, to make sure that our students had a menu of choices and that we could work to mitigate the risks in school. But I concur with my colleagues. So we need to be resourced properly and predictably, and that continues to be a challenge. We also need to be given the flexibility when we return to school to attend to kids' social emotional needs and not worry about things like standardized testing and benchmark testing, when we're really going to be attending to really trying to get routines back and really trying to attend to the needs that kids that we're not even sure what they will be, because we don't know what the consequences of this long break has been. So again, a lot of gratitude to our staffs. They've done a great job. A lot of gratitude to the governor for her confidence in her advisory council and her leadership in this. And remember that it's changing daily. You know, Mark mentioned when the plan came out, we were all very optimistic that we were going to be in phase five. And very quickly, we saw things slide backwards. And many of us are in a situation now where we're waiting to see what the call is going to be, in-person instruction or remote, and making those decisions based on science and data. So again, a tremendous amount of gratitude. We work in a business of hope, inspiration, and love because we get to work with kids. So I have that optimism, and I definitely want to extend gratitude to everyone that's worked so hard.
Well, Dr. Robert Shaner, Mark Greathead, and Dr. Gerald Hill, thank you, all three of you, for joining us. And good luck to all of you at the beginning of this ongoing school year. And please let us know how it goes going forward.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.